May the grace, mercy, and peace of God our Heavenly Father be with us now and forever. Amen. For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the first book of John, and we'll go to chapter 3, and we'll begin with the first verse and read through the seventh verse. It's a short portion of God's word, but it reiterates just exactly how much God loves us. It's 1 John chapter 3, and beginning with verse 1, and reading the words in Jesus' name. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open this word and that you would give words to say. Father, we thank you for that precious promise that you have given to us. And we know that these words are true because you are true. In Jesus' name, amen. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Have you ever thought about how much God loves you? Have you ever really sat down and thought about it? And there are times where we go through a struggle, where we go through a hard time, and we wonder, you know, is God really there? Or at least I do. And yet the Holy Spirit then begins to speak. The Holy Spirit begins to speak to me and assure me. There have been some rough patches, I'll admit. And it kind of gets to the point, and I can several times gotten to the point of, God, where are you? And immediately the Spirit begins to comfort and to strengthen. And several different times tears have flowed because God assures me that he's right there with me. He is right there with each and every one of us. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We are the children of God. We are the ones who God has predestined, because we believe and we trust. How much love has God bestowed upon us? We have to look at this in such a way that it's not physical. It's not a earthly, I guess, maybe, if you might say, what we read in Corinthians, that those who are earthy are of the earth, but those who are heavenly are spiritual. They're from heaven. And we are heavenly. Sometimes it's a little hard to grasp. Sometimes it's a little hard to understand. And yet, because of our faith, we have that assurance that we are God's children. We are the sons of God. And the world doesn't know us. They do not understand exactly, or do they do not understand why we believe in what we believe in. They do not understand that how is it that we can look upon the things of this earth, and I'll be the first one to admit, I mean, I can look upon a lot of the things that are happening. The first thing that happens to me is anger. But yet, that passes. And I can look onto it with a prayer. That, oh, Lord, please let them understand. Let them know that there is a better way. Let them know that there is a way that they can go or that they can travel. And they can cast their cares upon him. And all of the foolishness that goes on, continue to look to him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. We are the sons of God. But at this point, living upon this earth and living in the around in the citizenship, I guess if you could say, or the population that is upon earth, it really doesn't appear what we're going to be like. We really can't tell what's going to happen to us. We have that promise that when Christ appears on that last day, we will be like him, even as the scripture tells us. But we really don't fully understand. And it does not yet appear, or is not made itself known, or made itself manifested, what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Scripture tells us that we will be like him. It says it right here. We shall be like him. How? Are we going to look the same? Are we going to have the same body? Are we going to have the same look? And no, we will be sinless as he is sinless, because we believe in him and we believe in that promise that God has given us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. How can you be saved if you have sin? You don't, because you believe in Christ. And God does not count that, and God does not look at us in such a way that we appear to be unholy or we appear to be sinners. But we appear to be his children, because he loves us so much that he sent his son. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. The term purify, in this particular case, you know, if we look at the term purify for, you know, if we purify water or whatever, it takes out all of the nasties. But the term purify here involves our life. It involves how we live. And the short statement on it, it says, to keep morally straight. That our morals, or how we live, how we understand, what we do, what we say, how we speak, it's all pure. It's all straight. It's not as the world would be doing it. And just in that fact alone, or just in that case alone, there is a difference. Just in that case alone, there is a difference in such that, and those that have been in construction or even on different job sites, boy, that language can get to be pretty rough. And yet if you don't talk like that, if you're not part of that, people see it, they notice it. Some may ask about it. Some may wonder why you're not doing it. Those who are Christians at work, they'll recognize it and they'll understand it. they may make a comment, something like, I notice that you don't take part in that type of thing. I had a fellow that asked me one day, I was going into a store, and he said, how are you this morning? I said, well, by God's grace, I'm still upright and still walking. And he looked at me and he said, then you must be a believer in Christ. You see, people who walk that pathway recognize other believers. But people who don't walk that way look at you kind of funny. That's kind of a weird way to say things. They just don't understand. They just do not understand what it's like to be a child of God. And they would much rather try to fix all of them things themselves. And we all know that's not going to happen. He said, it says, whosoever commits sin transgresses the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. For those who sin, including us, because we know that that law is perfect. We know that that law is such that if you do even one tiny little portion of it to transgress it or to do something against it, then we're guilty of all of it. Scripture teaches that. We're guilty of all that sin. And yet we know that he was made known, or he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. That's why the world just cannot understand that. They just don't know it. He says, whosoever abides in him sins not. Well, so that means I walk a perfect life? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that when I stumble, I am forgiven. When I stumble, as the Apostle Paul says, it's not me, but it's the sin that dwells in me. That's where that sin comes from. Because I am in this flesh. Whosoever sins has not seen him, neither knows him. And that's the sad part. Whosoever sins has not seen him and doesn't know him. To know God and to know the salvation that is given to us through Christ is a comfort and a knowledge that the world just can't comprehend, as it says here. They don't know him. Some may say that, well, I go to church and I try to do good. And that's kind of the key to it, because most of the time, I remember a pastor telling me this one time. He was having a conversation with an older guy. And the whole key, and there's one word in there. There's one word. I try to do good. So basically what you're telling me is that you don't always succeed. We can try all we want, but we're not going to succeed. And that's why Christ came. We cannot do it on our own, no matter how hard we try. Whosoever abides in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. And then he goes on and he says, little children, let no man deceive you. And he that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Let no man deceive you. Let no man lead you astray. Focus on these words that are in this book. Focus on them. Study them. And if there's something that isn't quite clicking or you're just not quite sure what it's talking about, talk about it. We spoke last week about fellowship. Fellowship being much more than friendship. There's people that you can go to and talk to within the church community, whether it's here, you know, in Mesa, or a phone call, or internet, or whatever your choice of communication is. There's somebody out there that you can talk to. There's someone out there that you can bring up the point, hey, look, I was just reading this, and I'm not real sure what's it mean. Talk to them, because you may come away with an understanding that you may not have been able to get on your own. A lot of times I've read things and looked at them and go back to them sometime later. I've got all kinds of stuff written in here. And I've also got a number of places where I've scribbled out what I had written in there years ago, because it didn't quite fit. It didn't quite match up to what I had learned as time went on, as time progressed. I didn't proclaim it. I don't proclaim it as being absolute truth in some cases. I mean, there's a lot of things in here that are absolute truth, and we know them. But sometimes if you don't feel quite comfortable with your understanding on it, just let it lay. Let it lay. Because sometimes God will work in your heart at a point in time where, okay, now is the time where you need to understand what it is that I'm saying. And it'll become so clear, and it will become so perfect, that there's absolutely no question or doubt. And I'm speaking from experience with that. I'm not just proclaiming this and saying this is the way I think it is. No, I will tell you, it is that way. But we have to be receptive. We have to look at it with a prayer that, Lord, I'm not sure exactly what is meant here. And even with speaking to somebody, sometimes it still doesn't come real clear. I'm not real sure exactly what this says. So in your time, reveal it to me and allow me to just be quiet. And just listen. Listen for when God speaks. Kind of hard to do at times. You always want to be the, or at least I do, at times I want to be the guy that the go-to. Hey, I'll ask him, he knows what to. No, that is absolutely wrong. That's not what we should be doing. If you're not sure, back off and just be quiet and let God work. Let no man deceive you. Let no man lead you astray. He that does righteousness is righteous. You don't want to do something to take away from that. You want to live your life in a righteous state, because that is an example of being righteous. Even so, or even as he is righteous, as Christ is righteous. We don't oftentimes remember that. And yet we turn to God each and every night in repentance. Turn to him and say, Lord, I know I've stumbled and fallen, and pray and plead for and pray for forgiveness. Scripture tells us that, to repent each and every day, because we are sin. We are not perfect. We are not a perfect example as Christ was. We are sinful, and yet God still loves us. Even as that first verse says, do we know how much God loves us? Look at our life. And is our life an example of who Christ is? Sometimes not so much, at least mine. And yet God continues to walk with us, and he continues to forgive us, and he continues to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.